With local news, views, and information every weekday, it's here on Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael, and I'm in for Gemma Gaudette today. So Albert Einstein called it spooky, but generations later, this Boise State University researcher is trying to determine how photons communicate instantly with each other over great distances. So hang on, we're now diving into the field of quantum physics, into nanotechnology, and into understanding how this will alter our technology in the next 10 to 20 years. We're joined on the program by Paul Simmons. He's the associate professor in physics and in a joint appointment also in the department of the Micron School of Material Sciences and Engineering. Dr. Simmons was educated in England at the University of Cambridge, where he received his PhD in semiconductor physics. Came to the U.S. in 2007, working with researchers at University of Minnesota, the University of California, and Yale University. And in Los Angeles, he managed the Integrated Nanomaterials Laboratory. But in 2014, he joined us here at Boise State University, where he heads the Collaboratory for Epitaxy of Nanomaterial. Welcome.
Hi, Tom. It's good to be here.
Well, you, sir, are challenging perhaps the greatest scientist of the 20th century, Albert Einstein. Now, he wanted to disprove what you are now studying at Boise State. So first, perhaps a definition. What is quantum entanglement, and why are you studying it?
That's a great question, and I could talk for hours about this, but I know I have a short amount of time. So quantum entanglement is a very strange process that occurs at the very, very, very small length scales where quantum mechanics, the physics theory, becomes important. So to give you a sense of just how small things have to be for quantum physics to take over, if you think about taking a book off the shelf and finding a letter O on a page somewhere, if you're at the nanoscale, then that letter O would be about as big as the United States of America. So we're talking about things that are very, very small. But if we can shrink things down to that kind of length scale, the kind of length scale of atoms and electrons, then the everyday physical behavior of things that we know and expect to happen changes fundamentally. So for example, particles can move through walls. Imagine throwing a baseball at a wall and it disappeared and went through and appeared on the other side. This strange process called entanglement can also take place. So what happens in entanglement is if we can create two particles, it could be two particles of light, two photons, or two electrons at the same time during some process, then they share some physical property. So I work with photons, with particles of light. And you can imagine that the light particles can have some kind of direction. They can be pointing up or down or left or right. Initially, the two photons that we create share all possible directions. We don't know which direction they're pointing in. And we can take those two photons and we can split them apart from each other and separate them by some arbitrarily large distance. I could take one to Paris, you could take one to Costa Rica, and we could we'd have a one of these photons each.
So even over those distances, you're a photon, I'm a photon, I'm in Costa Rica, you're in Paris, and you're saying that almost it's like distance doesn't matter, time doesn't matter.
Right. That's the crazy thing, and this is the thing which Einstein had a problem with. As you said, he called this spooky action at a distance. The crazy thing is, if you take a look at your photon, you do an experiment on it to figure out which direction it's actually pointing in. Let's say you measure it to be pointing up. At that very instant, my photon will start pointing down. It will start pointing in the opposite direction. And we don't know, as physicists, exactly how that process occurs, but it happens instantaneously. It happens faster than the speed of light. And that was why Einstein had a big problem with this, because it went against his theory of relativity. But the good thing for us is, even though we don't know exactly how it happens, we know that it does happen. And that's the really interesting thing for me, is how can we use this bizarre, strange property of quantum physics to do something useful for us in the real world?
I love it. To not know how it works, still have that mystery, but to utilize it. We're speaking with Dr. Paul Simmons of Boise State University. Perhaps you could describe for us the facility, the equipment you use to follow these photons, these particles of light. I know that you're on Boise State University's campus in the multipurpose classroom building. You say your instrument there is as big as a car, a sedan, a hatchback, an SUV?
Yeah. The irony is that to create these incredibly small nanostructures, which have lengths on the order of, you know, just a few nanometers in width, we have to have this huge machine, which friends of mine have said looks rather like a large submarine. And the reason for that is we do everything at very, very low pressures. So just like a submarine at the bottom of the ocean has to withstand all of that pressure of the water trying to squish it, it's the same with us. We empty all of the air out of it. The pressure inside is lower than outer space. And so the air pressure around it is exerting an enormous force on the outside of this big metal box, trying to crush it. And so we have this huge, strong stainless steel structure, which allows us to reach these very low pressures. And when we do that, we can deposit atoms really layer by layer. And the way I often think about this is it's a little like a 3D printer, but with atoms. And so we can deposit just a few atoms at a time, enough to maybe cover the surface of a piece of a crystal. And by playing some tricks, which we understand, we can either get those atoms to form nice flat sheets on the surface, or we can get them to self-assemble into these little droplets, a bit like the rain forms droplets on the top of your car. We can do that, but the droplets, instead of being a few millimeters across, are just a few nanometers across. And it's those little objects, those nanostructures, or as we call them, quantum dots, those are the sources for these entangled photons that we're trying to create.
Paul Simmons of Boise State University talking about quantum entanglement and his work at the university. Well, this all seems so, I don't know, esoteric, theoretical. Are there applications for us now and in the future?
Absolutely. And that's the reason I'm interested in this, and indeed why the US government is interested in this and is funding our research. So you may have heard of quantum computers, and fewer people have heard of another quantum technology, quantum cryptography. But these are new technologies which are really on the horizon. And I believe that within the next 10, 20 years, these technologies will be a reality. And they will be fundamentally changing the way that we all live our lives. If you think back to the late 80s, early 90s, before we had the internet, it would have been impossible for us to realize just what a profound effect that would have on our day-to-day lives. The advent of mobile phones, cell phones, where we could do all manner of things. We live our lives on our phones now. And I think the same kind of a transformation of our society is going to occur once these quantum technologies come into play.
Well, there's so much more to talk about with Paul Simmons at Boise State University about the future of quantum computers, smarter than supercomputers, quantum cryptography, I suppose, for ill and for good, too. But we thank you so much for your work, and we hope we get an opportunity to speak with you again.
Thank you, Tom. Good to speak with you.
We've been speaking with Paul Simmons of Boise State University with support from the National Science Foundation as well. And I'd like to thank all of you for joining us here on Idaho Matters. Our producers, Frankie Barnhill and Samantha Wright. Our theme music from Will Hall. Our executive producers, Paul Stribling. And, you know, if you have a question, a comment, or idea for the show, you can send us an email. That's idahomatters@boisestate.edu. I'm Tom Michael. Please continue to follow us here at Idaho Matters, hashtag Idaho Matters on Twitter. You can hear today's program and previous interviews on demand from our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks for listening.